audio edition of the Wiltshire Masonic Newsletter for April 2020. As usual, it opens with an address from the Provincial Grand Master. The words attributed to Benjamin Disraeli, "The English nation is never so great as in adversity," might well be considered particularly relevant, given the situation in which the country finds itself with coronavirus. Due to the seriousness of the current situation, which I'm sure you all appreciate, I have asked that this edition of the monthly newsletter be used to outline action taken by United Grand Lodge of England, the province, and Her Majesty's Government, and in particular, how these actions affect each and every one of us. During the past few weeks, the province has taken a very proactive approach on matters concerning the coronavirus by writing to every lodge secretary, and the message has been reinforced by advice from the communication team at Freemasons Hall. As you would rightly expect, the province has been and will continue to be guided by the advice given by the Government, Public Health England and the United Grand Lodge of England. The current instruction received from Grand Lodge is that all Masonic activity is suspended for a period of 4 months. I'm sure this is the correct decision, and I'm pleased to report that all of our lodges have complied with the instruction, even to the point of abandoning meetings due to be held on the evening of the announcement being made. I want to thank the brethren who have made it their task to inform members of the changes, and to the goodwill and understanding of brethren who so swiftly complied with the instruction. Of course, the suspension of lodge meetings raises a number of interesting questions with regard to Masonic protocols, and I want to assure all lodge secretaries that guidance will be forthcoming from Grand Lodge and the Provincial Grand Secretary, which will help you to navigate your way through the Book of Constitution. The government has now moved to put in place further measures which are intended to maximise self-isolation, thus preventing the spread of the coronavirus through human interaction. The Prime Minister has acknowledged that this action contradicts his own strong belief in what we all refer to as personal freedom. However, I'm sure every member of the province, irrespective of age or vulnerability, will acknowledge, accept, and more importantly, conform with the restrictions. The main thrust of the work being undertaken by various agencies of the state, particularly the NHS, is to save lives, so I would ask that brethren who experience symptoms associated with coronavirus take the necessary precaution of self-isolating for a period of 14 days and contacting the NHS helpline number 111. Please do not attempt to attend the accident and emergency department of your local hospital, as to do so will place pressure on the system. If your condition is considered serious, you will be brought into hospital and you will receive the very best of care and attention. Self-isolating yourself does not mean that you must be lonely. Brethren, you all belong to the family of Wiltshire Freemasons, and Provincial Grand Chaplain, Brother Michael Barrett, and the Provincial Grand Almoner, Brother Gary Dolphin, are available should you feel the need to discuss any matter related to the current crisis. Please do contact them, even if it's just for a reassuring chat. And to those brethren who are younger, in good health and are able to assist, please do keep a watch over those of our fraternity who are at most risk from this virus. Provincial Almoner Gary Dolphin has also asked Lodge Almoners to make an extra effort to keep in touch with senior brethren and Masonic widows. He's also introduced a How Can We Help You page on the Provincial website. I know that all our Lodge Almoners work very hard to keep in touch with members, but these are unprecedented times which require extra special activity, and I'm grateful for your help in going the extra mile. Like you, I have been amazed at the actions of those who have stripped shops bare of all sorts of goods. Such actions, whilst understandable, are clearly unhelpful and they can be injurious to those members of society who are unable to join the early morning melee. Human behaviour is extremely well researched, but even so I struggle to understand what motivates such irrational actions and reminds me of another quote from Disraeli. Circumstances are beyond human control, but our conduct is on our own power. We do not know how long this period of crisis will last, and what we do know is it will not be over in days or weeks, but rather it will be months before the windows are thrown open wide and the light of a new day will dawn in our lives. In the intervening time, let us always be kind to one another. Many brethren from across the province will have received a letter from the Provincial Grand Secretary advising them of a promotion or first appointment to Provincial Grand Rank. I take this early opportunity to congratulate everyone who has been honoured and to thank you for the service you have given to the province in particular and to Freemasonry in general. I look forward to welcoming every recipient of a provincial honour to the annual meeting of Provincial Grand Lodge, which will be held in the City Hall at Salisbury on Thursday the 1st of October. I'm particularly delighted to congratulate Colin Cheshire on his promotion to Past Junior Grand Deacon, and Phil Still, who has been appointed Past Assistant Grand Director of Ceremonies. The Reverend John Hughes, who until recently was Metropolitan Grand Lodge Chaplain, has been honoured as Past Assistant Grand Chaplain, and Richard Wallace as Past Assistant Grand Standard Bearer. In the March newsletter, I made reference to the appointment of the two wardens for 2021. I'm also able to confirm that in October, Dr. David Reed, Lodge of Remembrance, number 4037, will be appointed Divisional Officer for the central part of the province, succeeding Andrew Tiffin, to whom I give my grateful thanks for the work he has undertaken for the province over the years. The provincial mentoring team will be strengthened by the addition of three divisional mentoring officers, Brothers Richard Wright, Foster Telford, and Alan Coleman. I will be delighted to confirm their appointment at Provincial Grand Lodge in October. I'm very pleased to join with the Programme Master in wholeheartedly supporting the comment he made at the recent QC meeting, that our order benefits from the active participation of young, inexperienced Freemasons in Lodge ceremonies, especially when the ceremony is conducted really well. It only remains for me to wish you all well, with a heartfelt wish that you and your families stay safe during this difficult time. I'm looking forward to when we will be back to normal, hopefully soon. Now a message from the Provincial Grand Chaplain. Dear brethren, we find ourselves in unprecedented, strange and difficult times, with ever-increasing restrictions being placed upon us by government guidelines aimed at protecting our health from this dreadful contagious virus. Many have likened it to the last World War, but in many respects this is even worse in that we can no longer meet members of our families, friends, and in our case fellow brethren, unless living in the same household. Since March the 23rd, all our places of worship have been closed, and we must now practice our respective faiths in our own homes. Let us never forget that in some parts of the world even this is no longer possible. My wife and I had chosen to socially distance ourselves before the new regulations came into force, and we have sought to ensure that we have a structure to the day. Part of that structure is to maintain our daily prayer life and to perform the morning office at 8 a.m. every morning in our garden room. Likewise, to think and pray for all you absent brethren at 9 p.m, especially those who have been stranded overseas. I invite you to join us in those prayers in the morning and at night as part of your own daily routine. Today's morning devotional from theologian Henri Nouwen I thought particularly appropriate for the situation we find ourselves in, and have adopted it for all you brethren and your families. The words love in this passage are synonymous with charity. May the great architect of the universe keep you forever safe. It is central to the theme of the volume of the sacred law that the great architect of the universe's love for his people should not be forgotten. It should remain with us in the present, when everything is dark, when we are surrounded by despairing voices, when we do not see any exits. Then we can find salvation in a remembered love, a love that is not simply a wistful recollection of a bygone past, but a living force that sustains us in the present. Through memory, love transcends the limit of time and offers hope at any moment of our lives. Next is a message from the Deputy Provincial Grand Master. At this time of unprecedented crisis, I am in awe of the imaginative initiatives being developed by the brethren from lodges across the province, which allow their members to keep in touch. I've been impressed by the online quizzes, learning material and chat rooms, and genuinely touched by the quite incredible acts of kindness and generosity of spirit, as exemplified by offers of help and support. All are measures by which to know a Freemason. As Marin and I self-isolate, it has to be said with a cash of wine, I would like to take this opportunity to wish you and your family good health as we work to get through this national crisis. Now a story for our time. Fred was called in from the garden. Charlie was on the line. Fred, is there anything I can do? Any shopping? Charlie was very anxious to help. Coronavirus had arrived and forced the Masonic community to cancel all their meetings. The only link now was the weekly phone call or Lodge Secretary's email. Charlie knew Fred's wife was rather ill, and for the next 12 weeks or so, Fred wouldn't risk any infection by leaving the house to shop. Charlie recognised it was perhaps time, as well as for friends and family, for Masonic colleagues to step up to the plate and demonstrate what true brotherhood agape was all about. Charlie's offers of shopping were gratefully accepted, and a list promised for the next day. Charlie seized the chance of a chat. There's talk of the virus continuing for another 12 months, Fred. Many businesses will fold. Do you think Freemasonry can survive the loss of the younger members? Chaps will have got out of the monthly habit, too. Fred sipped a proffered coffee. His wife knew how long Charlie's phone calls could take. Over the past 300 years, Charlie, Freemasonry has had to survive much worse. An attempted revolution and brutal suppression in the 18th century, the forced amalgamation of the ancients and moderns in the 19th century, and 2 world wars in the 20th. It has survived them all, and in fact grown more vigorously after each. Why, Fred, what made Masonry rebound like that? Hearing this, Fred's wife refilled the cup and added a plate of chocolate digestives. She knew the signs, thinking, "And they say that women can talk." Let me try to explain, Charlie. A year or so ago, I sat in the temple at Great Queen Street with about 2,000 other Masons. Distinguished visitors apparently included judges and clergy, academics and accountants. In short, men of every profession, trade and business. They travelled from as far as Malaya and Borneo in the east to the Caribbean and Canada in the west, and included reps from India and Africa too. Significantly, most had come at their own expense. Looking around this very relaxed and amiable assembly, one question kept coming to my mind. What on earth was it about Freemasonry that made all the effort and expense of the lengthy journeys here so worthwhile? How does Freemasonry inspire such commitment to overcome all the hurdles along the way? Charlie broke in. Fascinating. Did you come up with an answer? Well, at one level, Charlie, we offer warm friendship out of the lodge and a good-humoured conviviality within it. For many, it provides relaxing company after the stresses of the working week. There's also a comforting sense of well-being, a feeling of easy acceptance for simply being who we are, rich or poor, young or old. Many organisations can claim that, Fred, said Charlie, and they raise huge sums for charity as well. The Rotary, Lions, Buffalo, Caribou, etc., all come to mind. What do you reckon makes the Freemason so different? Fred munched a biscuit, gathering his thoughts. Could it be that these other bodies have largely ended up as fundraising social clubs, where the emphasis is on the club and how much it raises, not on the chaps within it? Freemasonry, however, starts and ends with the chap. The lodge is merely his location. We offer him a global system of morality, and its principles are very clear and unwavering. A brotherly love and natural charity towards others, and hopefully the courage to always remain true to one's own nature. Some of the younger chaps simply look forward to dressing up, white shirt, dark suit, for the monthly silver service dinner, which is a nice blend of formality and light-hearted banter. It makes a pleasant change from eating in our working clothes. We're Brits. We like that bit of formality and ceremonial. It makes us who we are. Fred laughed. You could also say that our 300 years of history makes Masons who we are. Our traditions are very long-standing, and for many Masons that's important too. They make us aware of our system of morality. Many are inspired by historic stories, and even have links with the tools used by the old operative Masons. Charlie, we can take great pride in this 300 and more years of English history. What makes you so confident about that helping us to survive the coronavirus, Fred? At heart, Charlie, while Rotary and the others can raise oodles of money, our Masonic morality tells us that true charity comes from the heart, not the wallet. In the middle of a virus pandemic, it is not a raffle or wadge of £10 notes that matters to people. It's the welcoming voice on the phone, the cheery email, the kindly offer of shopping or collecting the medicine. For Masons, Charlie, it's always people, not money, that matters most. And from the Assistant Provincial Grandmaster, April is the month in which we think of April Fools and St. George's Day, two very different events, but both firmly entrenched in the psyche of an Englishman. This April, we will all be self-isolating, a term I never imagined would enter the English language, and we may be doing this for many weeks to come. I can fully appreciate how many of our brethren will be suffering from withdrawal symptoms and lack of Masonic companionship. However, we should not let this national crisis stop us from keeping in touch with our brethren in Freemasonry. My friend, the Provincial Almoner, is encouraging members to be a part of the How Can We Help You campaign. Please do think of how you can be a friend to someone in need of anything, even if it's just a chat over the phone. Being alone should never lead to loneliness. And finally, we've already asked a lot, and thank you to everyone who has responded to the Provincial Almoner's How Can We Help You campaign. And an equally huge thank you to everyone who has taken to heart the Provincial Mentor's big ask that you work with the Lodge Secretary and keep in touch with new members. Many of you are already keeping in touch via phone, Skype, Zoom and WhatsApp, and I know that wherever possible brethren are collecting shopping or delivering prescriptions, even walking the dog. Now there is another call being made on your charity. Can you help the NHS? You can join a goodsamapp.org/NHS. Thank you for listening.